Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
In this episode of The Information, I'm going to be speaking with a close friend of mine, Alan Brown, who has done episodes in the past talking about various topics. And today we're going to be discussing some research he has done in the field of self-sufficiency. So living in a way where you have your own materials, you don't rely on the system to survive, essentially. And as part of this conversation, Alan will speak about some research he has done in the field of water and the contents of tap water and arguably superior ways of gaining water with more nutrients in. And also he'll be discussing possible ways of attaining free energy, which is an interesting topic and one we've done episodes on in the past, such as Andrew Johnson's talk in 2011 regarding free energy technology used during 9/11, which is a very interesting subject. So Alan will be joining me via Skype, so let's get straight on with the interview.
Hey Martin.
Hey Alan, thanks for having this chat with me today.
My pleasure.
So I've done a bit of an introduction, but it's probably best if you perhaps just give a bit of a description about the stuff you've been researching recently, because it's some very fascinating stuff. So I guess really the water, let's begin with the water. So I've got a glass of tap water in front of me. I've just poured it out from my tap in the kitchen. And from what I've heard, you've done some research that suggests that actually I should be pretty worried about giving that glass of water a swig now. So what's the fear about tap water? What's the issue here?
Okay, well, I guess when I'm referring to that, it's more of a world issue. As you're aware, everything's different in different areas, such as the fluoridation is in Wales and pockets of England, not necessarily here in the southeast with us. But it is obviously something to consider, because there are other things that are going into the water. Something that I'm finding out a lot, particularly in the States, is contracts that aluminium companies and other metal companies actually have with the water boards. And
right.
They dump a proportion of their byproduct, their toxic byproduct, into this water supply. And effectively that's brushed off as something that's good for our health or to sterilize the water, etc. But the problem is that with everyone's tap water supply, we're effectively getting dead water with all of these contaminants. And then obviously we do our own bit to try and improve it, which is to get some kind of water filter. Now, a problem that we're finding with some of the leading water filters is that they themselves have fluoride granules inside.
Right.
So even if you aren't in a fluoridated area, you're going to get it through your standard water filter. So other people there's obviously a lot of alternatives that have popped up, like reverse osmosis, which is drawing it through a membrane. That also leaves you with dead water. The other one, distilled water, so you can basically take any water, any sort of contaminated water, and just heat it up and let the water vapor drip into a container. That is a little more acidic than an ionic water, but it is obviously clear, but again, dead water. The same applies to, I can't think of it at the moment, but there's one other method. If it pops up into my head.
Yeah, sure.
The other one that's a more recent discovery, which seems to put all the rest to shame, is black mica. A product that it's in at the moment is something called Adia Clarity. And this black mica started off in Japan. It's used all around the world already. Apparently, we use it for a number of things. But what they discovered in Japan is that if you dissolve the rock, it releases all of these ionic sulfate minerals. Now, these are negatively charged, just like our cells, and apparently have the same structure as our RNA or DNA. I'm going to have to go back onto that. But when you introduce these dissolved ionic minerals in water, in contaminated water, it immediately bonds with everything in the water and starts to clean it. It's kind of the same thing you find in free energy. If people are working on different devices, there's some form of transmutation that seems to pop up, and it's the same thing with this type of mineral. They refer to it as the fourth phase of water, and there's a different spiritual reference to that, which is structuring of water. I think they're referring to it as, because the actual shape of tap water appears to be a type of string with just little bits attached to it of various dissolved solids, all very dirty, and obviously it can't get into your cell that way, just this long stringy thing. And so when you introduce this mineral to it, it basically reshapes that entire the structure of the water cell and brings it back into this kind of Fibonacci style, you know, everything's in order and aligned type shape.
A golden mean style.
Excuse me?
Like a golden mean style, sort of perfect, orderly structure to it. Yeah.
That's it, yeah. And now that then allows everything to move through the cell again correctly. And it seems to transmute the bad elements of the water into either inert, that something that won't really affect us in a negative way, or something that's actually quite valuable for our body. So in essence, when we introduce this water to our body, it's drawing out contaminants and filling up with all these minerals that we need. And to an extent that I must let you know that there's a lot of controversy around this product. Someone suggested it's been cited, it's been put in the line of sights of the FDA in America, and they're desperately trying to shut it down. And there was a very effective campaign against it, reportedly by the guy who was going to get into business with them in the first place, but I imagine it goes a little bigger than that, because the potential for this type of technology one test was done in Fukushima on some contaminated water used in a nuclear plant, and it just cleaned the water again with a pond filled with terrible types of E. coli, cleaned almost instantaneously. But there is obviously a lot of controversy around it. They're citing things like high aluminium content. But obviously aluminium is in all fruits and vegetables. It's not something that you get away from.
No.
It's one of the most common elements in
on the planet.
On our planet, yeah. And so, obviously the fact that it's dissolved in sulfuric acid to release the minerals, that's another concern. But just with some basic calculations, you can work out with their recommendations, because obviously you would use a little pipette to put 4 to 5 drops in a glass of water. If you work out the calculations of that diluting into the water, it's an insignificant amount, and obviously we have acid inside us already. And there seems to be some other kind of effect that's happening. This, like I say, is something that I've only come across very recently.
Sure.
And I've just made an order for some online, so I will have it soon, and we'll be able to start investigating. But I am quite excited about it, because obviously the potential for it to clean up the mess we've made with our water is profound.
Absolutely. Well, that's very interesting. So So the water companies then, so I'm guessing that they must be aware of this issue, but they choose to perhaps just not deal with the problem, or perhaps they can't deal with the problem, because from what you're saying, this is an issue that their chemical plants can't deal with, because when we're led to believe that our water from the tap is as clean as it can possibly be, even though it's passed through many human beings before it's reached your tap. It's a constant cycle of the same water being regurgitated, but they go through all these processes, and we're led to believe that the water is drinkable. But this sounds like it's something that doesn't really, it goes beyond that, and it can't really be fixed by the systems they have in place. So in terms of solutions, I mean, what you're getting this product, but is there anything else that people can potentially do? I know, for example, that you mentioned that spring water, if you're lucky to live near a local natural spring, that would be a great solution. And that's something that you're going to investigate, is it not?
Yes, that's the kind of overall solution. The idea of the black mica is effectively the idea behind the spring. Black mica is used by the earth to clean water. It's a process that it goes through while it's bubbling up through the earth. Springs are the cleanest source of water that we can drink, and it's obviously mineralized just as this mica would mineralize your water. And this is obviously something that's no longer in our water. And to us, when we think of nutrition, it's food. The first thing that comes to your head, the first thing that comes to mind is we need to eat better. But obviously the most important nutrient is oxygen. And the best delivery method is water. Obviously, our bodies are comprised mostly of water. It seems very important that we focus on a very important and, I don't know if at risk would be the correct word, but a very important resource that we're obviously damaging with the way we're living and with the things that we're introducing into the environment. Springing is definitely a way forward. I've identified one nearby, which I might coax you along to on an occasion.
Yeah.
But the idea is that you don't really want to get the water at the end of its run, because then obviously it's got rainwater leaking into it, certain contaminants that may be in the soil or any surface that it's passing over. So you really want to try and find where it's coming out of the rock or the side of an embankment or bubbling up somewhere, as opposed to just further down in the stream.
Okay, that's fascinating. So water is one side of it. So, I mean, I'm calling this episode How to Be Self-Sufficient, and I guess what I mean by that is we're talking here about water, and if we're able to be self-sufficient, we'd have access to a natural spring, and we wouldn't have to worry about tap water and all the stuff that goes with tap water, all the problematic issues that there are there, and that includes fluoride. Although luckily we're not in a fluoridated part of the UK, there are areas where we do have fluoridation, and certainly places like Ireland, they're fluoridated, and I believe many parts of the US are fluoridated, so they've got that issue to deal with as well as this. So their tap water really is a no-go area. So if we are to accept that we have a nice natural spring, so say we live somewhere where we can go and source the water, we can come back with it in crate in barrels or whatever, what else is there that we need to take into account? I mean, the other area that you've been researching recently, Alan, is free energy, which is a fascinating topic. And is there anything there you'd like to share with us in terms of some interesting information you found out about free energy research, which is a very another very controversial field and a very heavily suppressed one in terms of the information getting out? I think YouTube are continuously banning videos where they talk about free energy. There was a talk we went to in 2011, a guy called Andrew Johnson spoke at length about the censorship online about free energy information, such as videos where people create Faraday cages and all this business. And those eventually those videos will be taken off by YouTube, and there's no grounds for it whatsoever, except that the oil global fossil companies, Big Pharma, etc., they don't want people to see this information. So is there anything that in terms of free energy that you'd like to share with us?
Definitely, yeah. That is the most difficult thing, of course. Inventions staying free. It's obviously branching off into a whole other topic in terms of how we are far more malleable as ignorant yes or no so drones. It would definitely take us away from the discussion at hand. But when we're talking about self-sufficiency, I guess we're talking about off the grid.
Yeah.
The most important thing is to try and find a way to get away from paying for these services. Obviously, the last frontier is actually having to pay land taxes, but that's something else for another day. With regard to free energy, I don't think we can quite touch that, unless obviously so someone's able to get that out to enough people widely enough. But in terms of as close to it as we can get, there's definitely a lot of ground being made. We can, for instance, convert a washing machine into a type of water turbine, where you funnel water down and obviously use the progression into smaller and smaller tubes, creating water pressure, and push that onto the a fan inside a washing machine, generating the motor, generating electricity, and there's someone who's actually running all of their house's electricity off of that one device.
Wow.
The other very interesting one, but obviously only viable as long as the radio stations are running, is harvesting RF frequency, where you just connect a few things, a geranium diode, a ceramic, if you bear with me, I'll quickly...
Yeah, check it out.
It's only three things.
So are there the YouTube vids are there of this washing machine water turbine?
Yes.
That's great.
You can definitely find a YouTube video for that.
I'll provide a link in the podcast episode description. If you can send that to me after our chat, that would be great.
No problem at all. Okay. What it was a germanium diode, and then in brackets 1 N for November, 3 4. You need an electric capacitor. Now it's 100 PF. And it's a 50-volt one. And you need a ceramic capacitor. Same spec, 100 PF and 50 volts. Now, you just wire those three things together. It's also a YouTube video that I could send you the link for.
Okay.
And you attach a little antenna wire to the top of the thing you've just made. And... It starts to collect electricity from radio waves in the air. We aren't talking much. I think one guy stretched out his contraption over his entire garden and very high distance up into the air, and he was almost at a volt.
Right.
So, yeah, it isn't massive. But in combination with other things that have worked with things like the magnetic generators, that's more like a puzzle people are trying to put together, and a lot of people have created some very interesting puzzles where you just literally start the motor and then it keeps on going. But obviously the end game is to get enough pull, enough torque on that motor, because as soon as you put some sort of friction on it to try and generate electricity, that's when you're really testing the motor. So it doesn't just help that it's revolving around with a light nudge from the magnets. It really needs to have some force. I'm trying to think of a few others, because the whole idea behind this is that, excuse me.
No problem.
If you can trickle charge these small amounts of electricity onto a battery bank, that's what it's all about in terms of running your property. And obviously you can align battery banks in different ways to either be high or low voltage. So you would draw in energy from different things like your little RF harvester, your solar power, your little wind turbine, and there's some very interesting designs coming out of wind turbines at the moment. And you draw in all these little bits of power, and you add that to your battery pack. So I suppose we still are reliant on that, in a sense that we do have to still purchase batteries and things like that.
Right.
And they are limited in terms of a lifespan. But it's definitely taking you off of the grid. You wouldn't be paying for that constant charge.
Absolutely. The lower the bills, certainly. Yeah.
And I was just trying to see if there was any other electricity ones that I came across. I basically got to a point where we would have sufficient energy from this already. We can set up a situation where we're running a local stream onto an engine, having a little water mill type setup, and all these little trickle charge things running to your battery bank. So electricity would effectively be taken care of. And then you have water as well. I suppose when it does come to self-sufficiency, there is one last thing to consider, and that's the most important, and that's land. All you effectively need is just an acre of land and a little DIY house, or you can buy. There's a lot of options to try and put a little house down, which is far more affordable than the current setups that we have.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, in the UK, we have a problem really with land availability, but definitely in other countries, I think it's far easier. Certainly in the US, you've got a wider, you know, a wider scope to deal with there in terms of availability, land, farmland, and cheaper prices as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is the most important thing, but obviously we're humans, so we're innovative and we can diversify, and you can grow on shelves and you can grow sprouts instead. There are many different ways to bring the foods in that you would need to sustain yourself.
Yeah. So what about solar panels? Because I know you were looking at solar panels, and I think in the UK, I mean, I don't know about other countries, but I know that there was a government program at some point a few years ago where they were trying to push people, encourage people to buy solar panels, and there was some, I can't really remember the details, but there was some sort of tax exemption scheme in place, and people, it was almost like a big boom in the economy for solar panels, and all these upstart companies formed. There was a big boom for it a few years back, and solar panels were popping up all over the place, and they still are popping up all over the place, but perhaps not to that extent, because I think the government changed their policy and it's much more expensive to get now to set them up, to buy them in the first place, and I think they do try and get a piece of the action as well. But I think, are they something that people should consider based on their effectiveness?
Most definitely. I think someone put a statistic out that said after, 15 or 20 years, the solar panels were still running at 80% capacity. So they're definitely something that we want to invest in. I mean, you're probably only looking at changing them twice in your lifetime, unless you start really early, of course. And they're obviously getting better as we go. And there's some youngster in America, I think, who's worked on an entirely new design of solar paneling, which works on the tree and how the leaves face up and collect all the different bits of sunlight. And then that our, you know, current way of looking at solar panels is a little archaic, but at least we're focusing and we're starting to apply the imagination to these things.
Yeah.
And because they are effectively our most readily available source of energy, well, except for the energies that we're not allowed to speak of, the energies that never make their way onto YouTube.
Sure.
But yeah, The Tesla energy, that's definitely a very interesting thing. Along the way, I saw that that there was a way to invert the Tesla coil itself, and that all of our electrics were actually wired backwards, but could easily be converted to accept free energy, radiant energy from the environment, pushed out and through to all the houses.
Wow.
But obviously you can't charge that, and so he died a lonely, unhappy man. But,
yeah, very fascinating, isn't it? Subject, Tesla stuff. I mean, there is a theory that, I don't know if you've heard this theory, it's quite a far-out theory, that 9/11, that the actual main weapon used to bring down the towers was a variant of a Tesla-based technology, and it was used by forces perhaps beyond the CIA, when we're talking about the real sort of secret inner circle groups here that have access to this sort of tech. And there's all sorts of evidence, there's video evidence, in fact, to suggest that there's some sort of particle beam weapon or some condensed energy weapon was used to bring down the towers. It wasn't actually the explosion itself. It was literally an evaporation of the physical structure of the building. And there are some very interesting shots of that occurring. So in a way, they've basically inverted the technology and made it evil and sinister, and they've militarized it, but yet they're still not admitting that it exists or that it works. And there's no way that they're going to introduce it to the mainstream and allow people to use it to fuel their domestic houses and cars and you name it, which is frustrating.
Well, this is obviously the problem living in the defensive nature that we do. You know, everything is about war and war budgets. It's about making sure you have a bigger gun than the next guy, or at least you have a few guns to fight the battle. It's a type of mentality that we all really hope that we're coming out of in a form of awakening. But maybe we hope in vain. We carry on hoping, though.
Yeah.
But it really is a mentality shift that needs to change, because all the technology is available to completely transform the lives on this planet. But we don't tap into it. We don't take advantage of it. It's far better to have divisions so that people are feeling more secure in their Western environments while everyone else suffers, and they divide up those environments as well.
Yeah.
But I suppose we...
And you hear these... You hear these stories as well, don't you, of US presidents so that they have these houses where they're completely off the grid. I think Ronald Reagan may be one of them, but I'm not sure where I got that from. I know there are presidents, basically ex-presidents, who have these self-sufficient setups, and yet that's not pushed. So it's just one rule for them and another rule for the mass population, it seems. And it's a shame that they don't talk about this stuff in schools as well. Like, imagine a world where children and budding up-and-coming scientists were taught about this and given projects to work on perhaps different ways of producing this energy and trying to find solutions to some of the current problems we have with harnessing it, essentially. But instead of that, they're not even taught about it, and in fact they're told it's pointless, it doesn't exist. The only effective energy is oil and fossil fuels, which it's just hideous. I mean, we're living in a world where we're probably 200 years behind where we should be really right now in terms of energy and the use of energy.
Precisely, and obviously the same thing applies to the medical profession, literally, especially with regards to the whole cancer approach. And it's obviously a discussion for another time. There is obviously one thing I did want to raise, which I did just remember, with regards to energy.
Yeah.
There is another system which is referred to as HHO, Hotel Oscar.
Right.
And it's a rather simple device where you get find yourself some sheets of stainless steel. It can be as simple as a flapjack turner. You just cut off the bottom stainless steel bit, and you place three or four of these sheets together with a rubber divide so that the sheets aren't actually touching each other, but it's an airtight seal in between. You then put a casing around it, preferably perspex, so you can obviously see what's going inside, nail down both sides so that you compress it. But there's obviously a cavity of air inside. You then add distilled water to that and apply a mild current. When you do that, it starts to bubble. This is actually generating a charge as well as releasing hydrogen. People are then taking this bubbled up hydrogen and applying it to their air filters in their cars and getting far more miles to the gallon as a result. There's also people have used this in better ways, but I suspect this those are the types of videos that are starting to be pulled off of the internet. Because as I was told, there are some police vehicles in America who are already running on water engines.
Wow.
So there's definitely a whole lot of hidden tech, and it's obviously going only to where it's needed in terms of keeping us in our place.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a lot of it leaking out on the internet, and I suppose you just have to experiment a little bit, obviously safely, but we need to experiment a bit.
That's great, Alan. So to wrap up then, can you just provide a bit of a quick recap on the water product that you've purchased? Is there a particular website people can go to check that out? Again, I will provide that in the notes for this episode.
Of course. It's called Idea Clarity, ADYA, Idea
right.
Clarity. And the site is just .com on the end of that. You should be able to look at all the products there, a lot of the information behind it on there, as well as some links to some YouTube videos with the guys behind it actually talking. One of them is a doctor that's attached to his own Hippocrates Institute as a result of being disillusioned with the medical institution and obviously finding a lot of relevant, helpful stuff, which is curing and dealing with all of the ailments that the hospital is just prescribing drugs for. So this is a guy that I've come to listen to recently, and I guess I've put a little bit of faith into him thus far. And he's talking on behalf of this Idea Clarity as well, actually researching it and drinking it himself. So it's definitely people putting their faith in it.
It's worth checking out
for yourself, and I'll obviously keep you updated as I take the product.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you get on with the product once it arrives.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, Alan, that was great. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you for listening. Yeah, it's a pleasure as always.
Thanks.
Cheers, Martin.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.